first of all, appreciate that you are doing this. And I appreciate that the Midwest Board recognizes that the heritage of our association with the Midwest is important.
The first question we have for you is, what were the strategic challenges that MAM faced when you were president, and how were they resolved?
I think the real strategic challenges that affected me in terms of my role with MAM had really took place more when I was program chair, but it had to do with changing the time frame from having spring meetings to having fall meetings. And so what we faced was moving from April to October, and we also decided at the same time we would go outside the region. And so we ended up going to Louisville. And I would say that the result of that was really positive. The feedback from the Louisville conference was really just across the board very positive. We were afraid that we might lose some people by changing time periods, but we didn't. And so I think that was all real positive.
We were always concerned about quality, and we were concerned about quality in the sense of making sure that we had good research being reported at the conference, and that we were concerned about getting the best possible scholars that we could at all levels, not just for basic research, but also for pedagogy and other kinds of issues beside basic research. But the key is that at that time, I think our job was frankly easier. And the reason it was easier is because there weren't so many choices. We really didn't do international conferences then. Obviously, there were a few, but most of us didn't go to them. But at that time, the issue was not so much how many people we could get there, because we actually had our choice of almost everyone would go to the regional meeting, and then they would go to the national meeting. Now there's so many other choices, and the budgets seem to be more restrictive than they were even then. And so the challenge of what we were trying to do at that time, and we were frankly dominated by the Big Ten schools in the Midwest. I was from the University of Iowa for my degree, but then I, of course, have been at Nebraska for my whole career. But Nebraska was kind of on the fringe of the Midwest, actually. And at that time, even, they weren't sure, well, is Fred Luthon, he's at Nebraska, is that part of the Midwest? Because it was dominated by Ohio State. It was dominated by the two Michigan Big Ten schools. It was dominated by the University of Illinois. They were sending most of the participants of the conference at that time. The smaller schools did participate, and of course, we wanted their inclusion, and we did so. I can't remember, frankly, whether we had even a doctoral consortium. I doubt that we did. I'm not sure if you know when that actually started in the Midwest, but I do know that we weren't that concerned about how many people we had attend, how many participants we had, as we were to maintain the quality that we felt that we had in the Midwest. Our main objective at that time, at least, was, can we do a better program than the other region? And so that was a big issue for us. We honestly felt that the Midwest, because we were dominated by the Big Ten institutions that were turning out most of the PhDs at the time in our field, we felt that we were pretty elitist at the time. And so we wanted to make sure that, honestly, that we would get more inclusion from maybe some of the smaller schools or the regional campuses, as opposed to the campus, the Ohio State and the University of Illinois and the University of Iowa. And Nebraska was kind of on the fringe, actually, in terms of, location.
Yeah. Probably the biggest challenge that I think MAM faced, and actually I think still faces, is that we don't really have a good sense of, or we haven't defined what our niche is in terms of our maybe competitive advantage, our brands in with regard to other regionals or other organizations within our region. Who are we? What is it that we offer that's different from some of the other organizations? And I think we've struggled with that for a period of time, and I'm not quite sure that we've actually come to a consensus on that. We've tried a couple of different things to make our meeting attractive to our participants, trying to get the word out to various schools so we can up attendance. We've paid careful attention to good site selections, trying to move our meeting locations around the region in some kind of systematic process so that we are able to draw people from different portions of our region. We've also tried a number of what I think are innovative things. Part of these stems from some early years when I was involved with the board. That was kind of my initial initiation into MAM. Mid-90s, we were really struggling financially. We've had a couple of meetings early in the early 90s where we had suffered some financial losses, where we had secured blocks of rooms and then had low attendance, and we had to pay for those. And it really put us in the hole. And while that was a challenge for us, it also prompted some kind of innovative ideas on how to manage that. For example, the cost of printing our proceedings was quite expensive. And so the idea came up of, why don't we put that in an electronic form, put it on disk. And then we were the first regional meeting to do that. And if you notice, other organizations within our across the country, as well as the Academy of Management, finally have gone to that type of format. So that was sort of an innovative thing on our part, mostly driven for financial reasons, but I think it was a good move on our part. The idea of trying to come up with a journal, and the idea initially was to have an online journal that would be something kind of unique, but that was also trying to look for ways to address this niche question. We partnered a couple times with the Midwest DSI, at least once, maybe twice, and that was also an attempt to try to find a niche maybe and also increase our membership and kind of look for ways to get some synergy between those two organizations. And it was also a cost issue, a question too. So those are all things that, this niche question and that being a challenge, I think we've really wrestled with that over the years, and I think are still wrestling with that, but have looked for ways to try to address that.
I think right now, in terms of presidency, the issues that we're facing is really trying to get a handle on how the different roles of the members of the board could be restructured and thought about a little bit differently so that there's some continuity and we don't have to seek out volunteers beyond the board. And we can get commitment to follow through on some of those tasks.
We had to answer continuously is, who do we serve and how do we serve them? And that was our major question that we faced at that point. And obviously faculty members are a big issue, but the question is, how do we best serve those faculty members? And so we knew that or at least we were thinking about, do we want to present them with an opportunity to present and polish their research? Is that what we're all about? Are we there to help them develop new collaboration partnerships for their research? Is that what we're about? Because, of course, then we structure ourselves differently if that's what we're there for. Or is this an opportunity for them to learn from distinguished speakers who are really the top people in their field that they wouldn't otherwise have an opportunity to listen to and talk to? And so that was one of the things that we struggled with. And then, of course, doctoral students. Are we here for them? Are they a constituency that we care about deeply or not? So, for example, are we there to have them network for jobs? While most of our Midwest Academy attendees are not at Doc 1 universities, not everybody's going to get a job at a Doc 1 university. And so is it useful for doctoral students to be able to get to know people who are at the kind of universities that they may want to be employed at? So that was one of the questions that we asked ourselves. Is it there for mentoring? Doctoral students obviously get mentored to some more or lesser degree at their institutions. Is there room for other mentors, particularly mentors who may be doing research in their field or the fields that they want to get into? That was one of the things that we considered. And then finally, is this really an opportunity for us to provide additional socialization for people into the profession? Obviously, they get socialized to some degree in their doctoral programs, but it's always good to have additional socialization into those other parts beyond going to classes and writing research papers. And how do you act as a professional in the field? And if my memory serves me correctly, we decided that we couldn't be all things to all people. And so while we would try to focus on people who were at universities that were probably not doctoral one universities, but help their doctoral students as they proceed in their professional development. And that was one of the major things that we tried to focus on. And so we did try to provide opportunities for people to network, develop new colleagues, research projects, polish their research, et cetera. And doctoral students, I don't know if we've even concluded how we're going to do this, but at that point we decided to go ahead and do doctoral consortia, try to integrate those into the program so the doctoral students could do that as well as attend the meetings. And now we're doing placement. So that was one thing we were actually talking about 5 years ago, and now we're just now starting that. So it takes a while for these to sort of work their way through.
Hard to come up, become the place of real community where people can get together in a group that's not so large that it's unmanageable, but you see people, you see the same friends year to year to year, and we come people to a place where you can see your friends and enjoy perhaps the camaraderie of teachers and scholars and that sort of thing. I think the primary strategic challenge that we were dealing with is the same one that is being addressed these days as well, is what really is the place for the regional meeting. Especially in light of many changes in the national meetings of Ecology Management and those that extreme growth that they have. And so when I was a doctoral student, the Midwest Academy of Management was the place where you always went to with your first and second year papers. At Indiana University, the faculty would say, if you write a really good paper, research study for your doctoral classes, send it off to the Midwest, because it was the best place to get a good first look at what it is that you were doing. And one of the reasons you did that is because the national meetings never really accepted early doctoral student work. And so the Midwest, at the time that I was in it as a doctoral student, was really made up of a lot of the faculty in Indiana University, at Wisconsin, Minnesota, Ohio State, Illinois, the Big Ten schools. And it had a pretty good strategic focus as the place where doctoral students went to get their first work evaluated. And what we're seeing now, certainly, and what we saw when I was president, is that the National Academy became the place for the same work. Mm-hmm. And so we lost our access to that type of research. Mm-hmm. One of the ways in which we tried to get it back that I think has been in some ways successful is that we established a close relationship with the Journal of Leadership and Organizational Studies. Fred Luthans was assuming a pretty active role as the editor of that journal, and he's always been a friend of the Midwest. And he said, is there a way in which we can create this relationship similar to what the Southern Management Association has with the Journal of Management? Right. And of course, the easiest answer was yes, let's do that.
Yeah.
And so Marianne Albrecht became the first editor of a special issue that she called Current Issues in Management.
That's right.
That we had as one of four issues in the Journal of Leadership and Organizational Studies. And then after Mary Ann's tenure as editor-in-chief of that special issue, Joy Pellicetti took over as the editor, and that is continuing. And what I really like about that is that that is identifying for the Midwest Academy of Management a place for our research to go. And it offers, I believe, a great incentive for those who wish to submit to the meetings, because they would have an outlet of value, an outlet of real significance for this work. And I think that is a way in which we're trying to establish even more that the Midwest is a place for strong research. The second route, and this has been ongoing before I was president and after I've been president, is that we've also tried to increase our emphasis on teaching excellence, teaching scholarship, and programs that help support teaching excellence. In many cases, the Midwest has become a place for not only early research, but also a place where those who are at schools that are not traditionally Research One institutions can submit to the Midwest their research and also their teaching research. And I think that's a way in which we're serving perhaps a population that is not so well served by the large Academy of Management.
Okay, thank you. Our second question is, what are some of the best memories about MAM and or your presidency?
My job was to put on the 2002 meeting, and the call for papers went out in late summer of 2001 with the deadline due at the end of October of 2001. Well, we had a significant event happen in September of 2001, and I really panicked because it was going to have a major impact on travel, people's interest in you know, coming to a meeting. I was worried that we weren't going to have anybody show, that we weren't going to have people who were willing to submit papers because they were, you know, comfortable with traveling and wasn't sure what the impact was going to be on our meeting. So I really worried for a number of months, or actually a number of weeks prior to the paper deadline as to whether or not we were going to be able to have a meeting. So that was something that was kind of unique and interesting about preparing for my meeting, and you know, that stands out in my mind.
I think maybe my most positive memories had to do with coordinating the Louisville conference, taking people to Churchill Downs. I think we all had a lot of fun doing that. And then after the conference was over, it was a smaller group, but we all went to the bourbon tour, and I think some people were skeptical what that would really involve, but we had a blast, and we really did have a good time. We did a little tasting. We did a little touring of the bourbon storage and all that. So we learned about how it was made and the history of it. So I think we really had a really good time.
Well, before I was president, I was program chair, and the meeting was at Dale Dwyer's school, University of Toledo. Dale always wanted to have a meeting in Toledo. And at that time, the circus was in town. And so we just, perhaps a little silly, got the idea that we're trying to tie the meeting in with that theme. And so I kind of went after that theme a bit. And so everybody who came to that meeting got a clown's nose. I remember that. I still have a few. if you won an award or if we were saying thanks to you, you got a gift of, let's say, I believe we gave Dale big clown's shoes. And I know that I have a clown wig sitting in a dresser drawer somewhere. Just silly things like that to try to get this notion of our research can be fun, can be interesting. Mm-hmm. And I had a great time at that meeting. I remember Ray Aldag put on a session about fun at work. And he really started thinking about this notion of how we can separate, you know, the work of work with the fun of work, and how the fun of work becomes so important to us. And I always thought that was fun because it really brought into the notion that we don't have to take ourselves so seriously, and some of the things that we can do are just plain fun, like the circus. And so as a program chair, I kind of had some fun with that.
Yeah, the memory I have is, again, just like everybody else, I'm sure, is the people. You know, I just strongly remember names that you would all remember as well. My mentor was Max Wortman. And Max Wortman, as you may or may not know, is a mainstay of the Midwest Academy. He obviously became president of the National Academy, as I did also, after Max. And I followed Max in the Midwest, and I also followed him at the national level. But my memories of the Midwest were the great people that I still have friends with today. Mm-hmm. I'm getting toward the end of that career, but Max is, of course, now deceased. But I remember, of course, Max Wortman. I remember Art Brief. I remember Ray Aldag, who, of course, Ray is still very active in, and as I try to be with the Midwest over the years, and has been very loyal to the Midwest. And Ray was actually a younger guy than me, even in the Midwest at that time. But I do remember the Wisconsin folks, Larry Cummings, Ray Aldag, Art Brief. I remember, of course, Max. I remember Ken Thompson, one of my students, who has also been a mainstay in the Midwest, who, of course, has been in touch with everybody through the years and been my main contact with what's going on in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. So it's about people. It always has been. It always will be. It's about colleagues. And that's what I still like about the Midwest. It's always been friendly. They've always been open, and even doing things like this. I think we've always had a lot of respect for your elders in the old days of the Midwest Academy, and the fact that you guys are even bringing back the president speaking here and doing these kinds of interviews. Really appreciate that. And that's what I remember about the Midwest, were the people then and the people now.
I guess the answer to this question, and it was an early meeting that I attended of the Midwest Academy Management, and I want to say it would have been in the early 90s. We had the meeting in the western suburbs of Chicago, and it was in a location where there was also the National Debt Collars Convention was being held at that hotel. So we had it was kind of fun. In the limo and the shuttle service from the hotel, we had these debt collar guys with their debt collars, some of them carved or handmade. And it was a fascinating kind of, but also amusing kind of industry that I didn't know anything about. And of course, all their hotel rooms, they were displaying all these debt calls. We heard quacking going on all night. So it was kind of an interesting mix of, you know, higher education academics and these debt collar guys sharing this hotel. And it kind of made an interesting flavor to our meeting. So that's a kind of a fun, humorous memory I have.
Other memories really about MAM have to do with the people. And I think it's the people that make the Midwest Academy so strong. And that's why I keep coming back. So it's the interaction, it's seeing the people that you know, and going out to dinner with them.
I've stayed with this organization and been involved in a number of leadership roles because I really enjoy the membership and some of the friendships that I've made working with people from different institutions throughout the region who have been part of this. And that's probably, in a collective sense, my best memory of MAM.
I think that's my question, because as I was trying to think about it, there's just so many. It's a cliche, and you know this to be true, I know, because you serve on the board, that when you do this sort of service that it rewards you so much more than what you contribute. And that's hard to see when you're on the outside, because it just looks like a bunch of work. And it is a bunch of work.
Mm-hmm.
But the relationships that I developed serving as an officer, because of course you have that 4-year progression, all the way up that ladder. So you end up getting to know the people on the board, you end up getting to know the other officers. Was just, those people are incredible. They're people that I still have close relationships with today that I wouldn't have had an opportunity to get to know otherwise. And there's no price you can put on that. I mean, the value of that is just an incredibly enriched sense of community with your profession and in your career. It's led to not only friendships, but research collaborations and just opportunities that never would have happened, and the opportunity to get to know people that I wouldn't have. And so, you know, I can't even name one thing. The people were so amazing that it would be a long list and it would take forever, but I would always encourage someone to do something like this, because the benefits so far outweigh anything that you could possibly put in that it's like a no-brainer.
Another memory is in St. Louis, going out with a bunch of people across the street to this real fancy steak restaurant, and they had to find a sport jacket for me. I was less formal than they were expecting. But those are, you know, those kinds of dinners out and the kind of camaraderie that we have in the Midwest are what are my favorite.
Thank you so much, Fred. We really appreciate your time and your insight into the history of Midwest.
Well, thank you. I'm sure I didn't add a lot of detail there, but frankly, it's hard to remember the detail that long ago. But all I remember is that let's keep the Midwest at the best quality institution we can in terms of our professional associations. I know that's always been an objective, and it still is. And we may not get the attendance that we had, although I think it's very similar. We didn't have a lot of attendance, but we didn't have that kind of pressure that maybe you have now. So I really appreciate your coming over to interview me on this, and speaking to the Midwest, wherever you may be.
Thank you.
Thanks.